But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And the Lakers possibly rebuilding.
I want to talk about the rebuild.
Which rebuild?
With Golden State. And they're in a similar situation as what the Lakers are in, but much different in the same results. When you're building, rebuilding around LeBron James, and you say, hey, he's later in his years, he's maybe not the same player, but he's still a great player, or one of the top players in the league. LeBron James plays with the ball in his hand. So you have to build the team that actually fits in, so you're going to bring in older players. I think with Steph Curry, he actually plays without the ball a lot, and he's running off picks. So now you can bring in and say, we're going to do a young rebuild with young energy to get him shots easier because he's catching shooting more instead of beating people off the dribble. So the rebuild is different. They should go young through the draft, through trade, keep guys like Kuminga, not think about trading. Guys like Kuminga and his age, that group is where they need to be. Where the Lakers, they need to get older players at times to go with LeBron because LeBron handles the ball.
I mean,
astute point right there. Young energy, fresh legs. You see Kuminga and Curry working on the pick and roll, man. It started working.
Especially in fourth quarters.
Fourth quarters where Kuminga could get downhill and use his explosiveness to get to the rim. That's what they're missing right now. They are an older team. I don't care what anybody says. They got the second oldest team in the league. And you look at the roster, and everybody can say, well, Steph's 36 and Dre's 34. Well, Dre's got a lot of miles, and he's got a left calf strain right now. He's going to be out for at least the next week.
He's been banging with people 60 to 100 pounds heavier than him and 5 to 8 inches taller.
For decades.
For decades. Of course he was going to break down.
The body's breaking down, all right? GP2's 32.
And his body's always, we love GP2, but let's call it what it is. He's often injured. He plays a rugged style of basketball.
Excuse me, GP's 32. And he's a small who plays big.
Exactly.
Buddy Hield's 32 years old. 32.
Gosh, that is surprising.
Been in the league a long time. All right? Dennis Schroeder's 31. A lot of miles there.
Decade in the league.
Kyle Anderson, 31.
Decade in the league.
This is stinking from the head up.
Andrew Wiggins, 29. Been in this league since he left his freshman year out of Kansas. Kevon Looney, 28. Had multiple hip injuries, but he looks good.
Decade in the league, though.
But Pat Spencer's learning how to play NBA basketball. He's 28.
Pat Spencer.
Lyndon Waters, III, 27.
Quentin Post, who played yesterday. Isn't he like
24.
24. He got a block, though.
He did get a block. He had a career yesterday.
I thought he looked good. Well, I mean, yeah. He only played like 2 games prior.
Right. Yeah, I know.
So everything's a career high.
I know. I just had to get it out
there. It's like us when we started. We started from zero audience. We're the fastest growing show in America.
888-957-9570 is the number. We got Baldy coming up at 7:30 as we get back to the playoffs. We'll talk some national championships. And we'll play this Kenny Smith sound more today because I want to know if people agree with Kenny Smith. I already saw somebody on the 559. Kenny is wrong. He's wrong. Okay. All right. Well, why is he wrong? Call us. 888-957-9570. But, you know, some people think it's karma and Jordan Poole coming to town Saturday. But some of the feds who are doing all the crying and doing all the complaining and doing all the bitching and moaning are the same fans who want a KD out of here. He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen. And now, here it is 5 years later, and you're begging for a superstar. You're begging. You had one.
No, you're begging
you ran him
for,
off because
you're begging for malcontent. Not like Jimmy Butler. I just put a list together. Just I'm going to use Jimmy Butler as an example. I put a list together. He didn't even make my list of quote unquote stars. Like, I guess he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, but is he a superstar?
Not to me.
If I said Jimmy Butler to my wife, she'd be like, "Who?" She wouldn't know who he is.
She might.
I don't know.
She might. She might.
I'm not trying to dismiss him. He's a very good player. But, like, superstar? That's not a superstar.
Well, what's funny is I see this text, and 559 says...
Kevin Durant is a superstar.
Yeah, this guy, 559, says the Knicks didn't go young. Well, Carl Anthony Towns is in his prime at 29 years old. Mikal Bridges is in his prime at 28 years old. Jalen Brunson is in his prime at 28 years old. OG Anunoby is 27. 27. Landry Shamet has been around the league, but he's only 27.
God, I feel like he's
they've
been
got one player who's
teams.
They've got one player right now who's 30, and that's Campaign, backup point guard.
Yeah.
You look at Boston, too. Their core, Tatum and Brown, what's their ages?
Like 28.
28, 27, yeah. 26, yeah. Athletic primes. The Warriors don't have that right now. They don't. And you can see it on the floor, even when they play Toronto or Washington. Just look at the athletic advantages those other teams have. It's night and day. Night and day.
Kenny's basically saying, like, you need to go young and you got to commit to that. And I agree with it. And I know it's the hard thing to do is accept the reality, right? It's to accept the reality of where you're at. You're not a championship contender. And the one or two players that you have that is in that window, as in Andrew Wiggins, like, he's a really good and useful player, but he's not a number two on a nightly basis for an 82-game season, who at times can be a one. Like, you talk about Tatum and Brown. Any given night, one of them's going for 35.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Porzingis, when he's healthy, he could go for 30 any night. Mm-hmm. Drew Holiday, though older, like, he's a solid, solid player mm-hmm. and one of the best perimeter defenders in the game. Then they have Hauser and Pritchard and all of these ancillary pieces that fit perfectly.
Yep.
Right? They're all ready to contribute because they know exactly what their role is. You know, Pritchard knows what he is.
Yep. And he's averaging over 14 off the bench.
Well, he's a scrappy, good player.
Hell of a season.
I mean, if I was Pajemski, I'd be looking at Peyton Pritchard and saying, like, that's the role I would try to embrace.
There it is. 559, go get talent. We can draft. Well, you think they're not trying to get talent? You think it's just so, hey, let me just dial up the number in New Orleans and send me Zion and Brandon Ingram.
Like, and here's Pajemski.
Like, I'm telling you, Grant Lifman told me this. I don't know if it was supposed to be off the record. Maybe it was. But he said the one thing he's learned working in the Atlanta Hawks front office, Grant Lifton, formerly of the Warriors Outsiders, he goes, I cannot believe how hard it is to make a trade. Because we do the NBA 2K stuff, fantasy basketball, we're like, oh, yeah, cool. But he goes, they had a player that they were trying to get for a season and a half. They finally got him, but he was like, it is extremely difficult to try to get two sides to come together. This is Grant Lifton. So if you don't want to believe Joe Lacob saying trades are hard, Grant Lifman works at the front office of the Hawks. It's like, Bonte, I did not realize how hard it was to make trades in this league.
Trades are hard.
It is. It is what it is. You got to have the right pieces. You got to have the right picks. You got to have the right formula. It's not that easy, folks. You could think it's easy because another team just made a trade, but they may have better assets than you. That's a possibility.
Well, someone's got to want what you have.
Because that's the thing that I keep going back to. All these fans want to trade for a star, but the players on your team, you disrespect left and right and say they suck. So what do you think you're going to get for them if they suck?
How many trades in all your fantasy leagues? How many trades? A couple?
Two, maybe three.
In all your leagues?
If that.
Come on. It's hard.
It's hard, man. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the one and only Brian Baldinger at 7:30. We'll flip the page, talk some football, then we'll get back into the Warriors in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all coming up on the Roast.
Backers are moving. Here they come.
Heavy pressure. Howard delivers downfield. In the second half, until that potential game clincher.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Talk to Baldy in about 11 minutes. 11 minutes. Brian Baldinger will join the roast here on 95.7 The Game. Jeremiah Smith with the game ceiling catch right there. His only catch in the second half. You heard Chris Fowler on the call for ESPN alongside Kurt Herbstreit. I have no idea what Notre Dame was doing. They ran cover zero blitz. Shout out Steve Wilkes. Left Jeremiah Smith one-on-one. No safety help. And that is ball game. Third and long. What was it, third and 11?
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Steve would have ran that right before halftime with no timeouts.
Hey.
No time left on the clock and the ball being at the 45-yard line.
Shout out Steve Wilkes. Still out there looking for a job. He had to take the year off, unfortunately. 5-1-0 real quick. B. Shasky, it's your boy Leroy. Last week you said the Warriors going to get someone that could come in and get buckets, but the system the Warriors run is set up for players who can come in to get Curry buckets. Those are the players the Warriors need. I still like Acapulco from Toronto. We'll get back to the Warriors, Leroy. I will expect your call in the 8 o'clock hour. But national championship, thoughts, how say wins, Ryan Day. Wow. What a turnaround for him after the Michigan game. We thought he was gone. Well, he's not gone. And he wins a natty, and he's now 70-10 as coach of Ohio State. What a run for him. Second most receiving yards by Jeremiah Smith for a freshman in a single season. Just passed Devontae Adams. Crabtree still holds the record at Texas Tech. So, Jeremiah Smith, what a player he is. But your thoughts on the game last night?
Thought it was a fun game. I know that Ohio State got up pretty big, and I think most people either turned the channel or fell asleep or, you know, gave up on the game in general. But seeing Notre Dame fight back, I thought Ohio State took their foot off the gas. I mean, clearly they've got blue-chip players across the board. Their running back, multiple linebackers, their offensive line. Jeremiah Smith is, the guy's a superstar. He's not just good. He's a superstar. Ohio State's wide receivers over the last, however, 7 or 8 years, it's almost unbelievable how many great players that they've been able to recruit, draft, develop. And then, you know, I thought that Will Howard, the quarterback who I gave up on after the Michigan game, threw a bunch of red zone picks. It's like he played outstanding football in all of the games. So Ohio State is a worthy number one and champion. And they're impressive and good for Ryan Day. You know, I watched his postgame stuff afterwards, and there was like four different guys all thanking God. You know, Will Howard, Jack number 33, whatever the guy's name is.
Jack Sawyer.
Thank you. And Ryan Day. And it did seem like legitimately they love their coach, and there was a camaraderie. And in this NIL kind of universe that we live in, it feels very transactional.
Right.
That win, again, they just won the championship. They felt like a team. They kept talking about family and stuff, and it's like, you know, good for them.
No, they rallied around each other after the Michigan game, after the brawl, and they took hit after hit after hit after hit. They got called sore losers. I thought they were sore losers, and they regrouped before Tennessee and went on a historic college football playoff run. The Oregon game, obviously, the highlight at the Rose Bowl, the way they dismantled them. The Texas game with the goal line stand, Jack Sawyer with the fumble recovery touchdown. And then yesterday, surviving against a game Notre Dame team that showed a lot of heart and a lot of fight during this playoff run. Coach Freeman did a hell of a job getting this team. They won some bowl games, Orange Bowl, Sugar Bowl. Hell of a season for Notre Dame. School record for wins. But Ohio State, you're right, the wide receiving room, I mean, it was crazy. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. Marvin Harrison Jr. couldn't get on the field. Texas Smith and Jigba couldn't get on the field. How about this one? Ohio State was so loaded, Jameson Williams had to transfer to Alabama.
And that's
the Jameson Williams who's now lighting up the league for the Detroit Lions.
Probably going to get paid this offseason.
Couldn't even crack the field with Ohio State. That's how loaded they've been at the wide receiver spot. So somehow, some way, they've become this team that's just been a juggernaut at the wide receiver spot. Offensive linemen, they've had running backs. Quarterbacks start to come around there at Ohio State, there's no doubt.
Will Howard was impressive.
Hey, Will Howard's going to get drafted somewhere.
You know, we're talking about the Niners taking a quarterback late. Like, and this is going to be controversial because I don't think that Riley Leonard throws the ball as well as Will Howard at all. But I like Riley Leonard.
Yep.
He's grown on me. I watched a lot of Notre Dame games this year. He's got a poor man's Tebow thing going, you know, in terms of like he's more guts and guile and running than he is accuracy and delivering the ball downfield. But like as a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, I'd be all in on that. I really would. I mean, he's a project. There's no doubt about it. But I like him. I just like the guy's makeup. I think he's really smart. And then Will Howard, I don't know where he goes. I'm going to throw a random name at you. And it just his mannerisms of being a quarterback, the way he throws the ball. I don't think he is this player, but I get like Kerry Collins like vibes.
Oh,
from
that's
him.
Not bad.
You like
that's
that?
Not bad.
Like
not
I think he's solid. I don't know if he's ever like a premium type player, but like you could do a lot worse than Will Howard. I like him.
He's tougher than I thought. He's more powerful than I thought. The quarterback keepers, you see him. He was throwing a. Man, he was slinging a rock in the playoffs.
Oh, he hit
man.
Some intermediate touch throws.
He hit some intermediate touch throws, the deep shots. The Ohio State game, I mean, the Oregon game really put me on. I was like, wow. Now, Texas, they had a good, really good defense. But Will Howard's going to go somewhere. Chip Kelly, shout out to him. He coached him up. Him and Ryan Day, who, of course, were pairs, partners with the Niners when Chip Kelly was a head coach. Ryan Day was a quarterback coach. They coached him up, man. I thought going into the playoffs, there's no way Will Howard's going to go on a run. Not after that Michigan game, but he's going to get drafted somewhere. And I think he made himself some money yesterday. There's no doubt he made himself some money. Ibuka, the slot receiver, we'll see about him. He's going to go somewhere. Tate, I didn't even know who Tate was. All of a sudden, it's like, damn, they got another guy? Bonte. Then they had number 11? I was like, dude, they're just loaded. It's a factory right now.
Caleb Downs. Is so sick.
Caleb, you know how
I mean,
about him.
Like, I know Ed Reed comps, whatever. I see shades of Brian Dawkins in him. He is monster.
When he comes out next season,
would you take him number three, like top three overall
right
this
now,
year?
Yeah, I would.
I would too.
I would.
I trust him more than the quarterbacks.
I trust him. I trust Jeremiah Smith. If Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Smith. Downs came out right now, I'd take Jeremiah Smith number one overall and wouldn't even think twice about it.
He reminds me of Julio.
Did you see the graphic?
I know, but I'm saying like when I watched Julio as a freshman, I was like, yeah, he could play in the league right now.
They had a graphic during the Rose Bowl when he was cooking. And it's Pasadena and the sun is going down and Ohio State's playing. The band is playing. I'm like, damn, they're schooling Oregon. And they threw up the graphic. I asked T.O. about it. He goes, yeah, he's that dude. Because it was T.O. and Julio Jones, and he put Jeremiah Smith there saying this is his comp. So I asked T.O. about it when he came to the gatehouse, and obviously he made the rounds. And he goes, yeah, that dude's the truth. Yeah, I see. He's got some me in him.
I know we've forgotten about him. Julio was so sick.
Julio was amazing.
He was so sick.
Are you kidding me?
He was so sick.
Julio was insane. I mean, so Jeremiah Smith has all that in a bag of chips, and he's got to wait 2 years? If he may get to a point where he plays next season.
And just sits out.
And then just sits out his junior year to protect himself.
Did you see who's on the sidelines? I guess he does a lot of motivational speaking now, which I was unaware of. The Maurice Claret was on the sideline for Ohio State. I was of the belief Maurice Claret could go freshman year straight to the NFL.
I know, I was too. He tried.
Well, I think there was a lot, obviously, going on in that young man's life. And the times were different and whatnot. And I think that's why he's a motivational speaker right now, talking about drug, alcohol abuse,
he's got his life
fame, all the things that can be intoxicating, as well as coming from a very volatile background. Mm-hmm. You know, I find his story to be inspirational because he's a guy that's clearly made right on all of that promise that he had as a young man, and he had missteps, and I don't know, I find that very endearing. And so when I saw Maurice Claret on the sideline, do you guys even remember Maurice Claret back there behind the glass?
No, they're so young.
Oh my god.
I watch Youngstown boys.
He's one of the greatest college football players ever.
He was great for that 1 year. But
he was
so
sick.
He was sick. I wouldn't put him in my top 10
for
two seasons.
He
was sick. He was good. He was really good. that first game he had I think they were playing like Washington State at the Horseshoe, the old Horseshoe. And he was just, boy, he was balling. He balled out that year. They beat Miami, even though Miami got jobbed in that game. We all know that. The confetti was coming down, and next thing you know, a phantom flag comes out for pass interference. And then here you go, Ohio State. Here's your national championship for the first time since 1970.
Whoa.
But you know what? Jeremiah Smith, if he wanted to come out right now, would you take him number one?
Well, what team am I?
I don't care who you are.
Well, like, I think he's worthy of a top five pick. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. There's not a question. But I also, like, right now, if I were going number one on this draft, like, I'm telling bro, it's
Abdul Carter. You're going Abdul Carter?
I love Abdul Carter.
I love him, too.
Did you see and I know we got Baldy here coming up in a minute, Max Crosby saying that he's got no guaranteed money after this year, and basically saying that he's got to reevaluate some things with the Raiders.
So for this offseason, he's got to reevaluate. So, yeah, I see Deominder Lenoir in a tampering period. You would take Bad back to the Bay? I think we all would take Bad back to the Bay.
Who wouldn't? But if I'm the Raiders, would. Okay, the 11th pick and whatever your other pick is to move up a little, I don't know. I think it's intriguing.
I don't think the Raiders are going to ever do business with the Niners like that. I don't. Mark Davis said
Detroit.
All the stories hearing from Papa, I don't think the Raiders are ever trading with the 49ers. There are still some things where it's like, yeah, we don't want to give them the edge because they still think they have a marketplace in the Bay Area, even though it is dissipating by the day. Detroit, maybe? Yeah, sure. Somebody make it. And the Raiders are prone to do something dumb. They just are. That's just what they do. It would be a mistake to trade Max Crosby, but you get multiple picks. He goes somewhere else.
I mean,
it's
they're
a win-win for everybody. I mean, come on. The Raiders, I now think Mark Davis probably is the worst thing to happen to that organization. I was giving him a chance and like, hey, all right, get a shot, but he has no clue what he's doing. No clue. Like, think about this hiring process.
When people talk about Joe Lacob like he is Mark Davis, is insane.
Well, you know, and a lot of these kids who are now watching Warriors basketball weren't around for the Chris Cohen days. They just weren't. So they wouldn't say things like that. Like, I don't work for Joe Lacob. People think I work for NBC and 95.7 a game. We're partners with the Warriors. And they've been great partners to me over the course of my career. I love the Warriors. I love all these teams. But the Warriors, love the Warriors. But I know what good, I know what bad ownership is. We've experienced it. I see it around the league. All these leagues. Jerry Jones. Would you rather have Jerry Jones or Joe Lacob? When I see an owner putting his money where his mouth is, paying multiple millions of dollars for the luxury tax to try to keep the winning going, how can I rip that guy?
Well,
like, how can I? Like, yeah, he's made some bad moves. There's been some bad decisions. He's admitted. We've seen it. We see it. But I'm not here to rip. Like, the Joe Lacob hate is just crazy to me.
Well, and I know that his resume stinks. But I will say this about Mark Davis. As a non-Raider fan watching from afar, I feel like he does care. Like, I do think he does care. And I thought that he tried and he swung big with Gruden. He gave him $100 million, right? He gave him $100 million. Who knew that the Gruden email files were coming out the way it did? Now, we could argue whether he's a good coach or not. I'm talking about, Gruden. Then he went after McDaniels. A lot of people were going to go after McDaniels. They ended up both being horrible decisions.
Yep.
I mean, but I think that he's, I don't know.
Oh, what do you think about?
I don't think he's great, but I also don't think he's the worst.
What do you think about Ben Johnson getting his Bears job?
I think
Caleb's happy as hell.
I want the Bears to be good because Chicago being not good in any sport kind of stinks. I mean, it does.
It's a major market, and the Bears resonate with teams.
This is the biggest win in Bears in the Bears history since 1985. I remember the feeling when we got Jim Harbaugh. I remember scouring the internet. It was us and the Dolphins, us and the Dolphins, us and the Dolphins, and it felt like we won something the day we got Jim Harbaugh. I remember the feeling when they announced that we were going to get Kyle Shanahan and how great I felt about that. If I'm a Bears fan, this is one of the biggest wins since the Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's how big of a day it is. Wow. This is a guy who had options who we look, I don't even know if he's going to be good, but for the first time ever, day you get a guy who's the number one offensive mind on the market and he chooses you and you already have your quarterback, I don't even know if Caleb's going to be good or not.
No, he's got Caleb. Caleb's going to be fine.
Caleb's going to be better for Chicago.
This is big for Caleb. I think it's big for Roma Dunze.
Yeah.
I think it's big for DJ Moore. I have a feeling they're probably going to move off of Keenan Allen, but that's okay. That's okay. This guy can coach offense. And if you get a tight end, Cole Kmet is not bad either. And we saw Ben Johnson use Sam LaPorta in a way up in Detroit where it's like, okay, the tight end is a factor in his system. And he's going to hire the right assistant. Seems like he's going to go get Dennis Allen to be his defensive coordinator. He's going to get the interim coach from the Saints to be his special teams coordinator. So he's putting together a good staff out there in Chicago. I do like Ben Johnson to the Bears. This is a good move for Chicago. They needed an offensive-minded head coach to get their quarterback, and they can't botch this.
He knows
they
the division. They cannot botch
this, and he knows the division.
You know, and like the thing that I'm going to be very interested to see, like, how does Caleb, because Caleb likes to hold the ball so much, and when I think of the Detroit offense, they have the greatest line, like offensive line outside of Philadelphia in the league. They want to run the ball down your throat. Now, is that more Dan Campbell? Is that more Ben Johnson? I feel like Ben Johnson will do whatever he thinks he can win. Mm-hmm. if they can get the run game going and the play action stuff, I feel like Caleb's going to be successful.
Yeah, Caleb should be fine. Caleb has an arm talent. He made some plays. He was just running for his damn life every single week. Don't forget, 95-70 game knockout tournament is back. The second annual knockout tournament is back with a chance to shoot hoops on the floor at Chase Center. The throne of reigning champ, Mark Grandy. Contest to qualify will start on Monday, January 27th, and go for 3 weeks. So you'll have plenty of chances to win. That is next week. Listen in the 8 a.m. hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour, starting Monday, January 27th, for your chance to win. Each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 whole weeks. Have to be 18 to win and be a California resident to get some shots up at Chase Center. That will happen. It's a lot of fun. We got Baldy. We're efforting him. Let's get Jose in Oakland real quick. Jose in Oakland, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Look, the Bears are actually landed a pretty good head coach from my point of view. Now, going back to my Niners, they're really blowing this run out with their defensive coordinator. They had their pick of defensive coordinators. At the end of this search, if they end up with Gus Bradley, it's going to be equal to you trusting that you have a pretty worn-out tire, but you have a spare tire. You know, eventually you get rid of the worn-out tire, and then you pull out the spare tire, and it's flat. Okay, that's Gus Bradley, a flat tire. If the Niners think they were stupid enough not to think that Gus Bradley had something to do with the game plan or the defense this past year, I mean...
Jose, we got Baldy. We're going to go to him. Call back at like 8:30.
I know where Gus Bradley came from, man. Jose,
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Discussion about Gus Bradley. Has he even been interviewed by the Niners yet?
I don't care.
It is Shark Week.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95-7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Ryan Baldinger, as always, joins us on the River Islands guest line. Brian Baldinger, presented by our proud partner, Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Go to State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. I don't know what Baldy's been doing, man, other than watching playoff football or hitting the splits. Every time I look up, he's hitting the splits somewhere, whether it's the Jason Kelce show, the set on NFL Network, or swear to Steve Smith. The hell is going on with Baldy right now? But good morning to you, Baldy. You had the Hulu Bowl last week. You're going to be down at the Senior Bowl. Let's just start here. We'll get to the playoffs in just a second. Ben Johnson to the Bears. You like the fit with Caleb?
I do. It's a little easier to be a great offensive coordinator if you've got the offensive line that the Detroit Lions have. And you have the running back in Jahmyr Gibbs that he has. You know, and you have LaPorta and Amon-Ra. You have everything you need to be a great offense. Like, the Bears don't have that. You know, they don't have that type of personnel. And so, how quickly can they get there? Because the creativity that he has is good. Protecting the quarterback is paramount to anybody's success. But I do like it. Obviously, Jared Goff played horrible the other day. So that's not good. It's not a good final resume on your resume. But at the same time, they won more games than anybody over the last 2 years. He's been good for them. So I do think Caleb badly needs stability at the head coach, the offensive play calling position, game planning. He needs stability right now for his career to take off. I mean, just real quickly, I thought the play of Jake Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury can't get any better. The formations, the motions, how Jaden Daniels saw the field, how he took advantage of certain things, pre-snap reads, getting to the right play, coaching matters. And so I think Caleb can certainly benefit by it, but at the same time, they need a lot of work on that roster right now.
Yeah, Baldy, I'm glad you brought up Jaden Daniels because one was taken number one, one was taken number two, and Adam Peters was kind of laughed at by some people. He interviewed five or six different quarterbacks. They all went to Topgolf, and I guess the Bears never even looked at Jaden, and whatever. That's their prerogative. But I'm watching Jaden Daniels, and there was a point in the middle of the season, I'm like, he got rocked, I don't know. You know. And then it was that second Eagles game that I watched pretty closely. I was like, wow. To me, it was pre-snap, the calmness, and him setting everything up. And then post-snap, his moxie, his poise, touch. You know, he runs when he needs to. He uses his legs to create different platforms to throw. I've been so blown away with his arm strength and his vision and just everything about him. I told Bonte, I feel like I'm watching the best rookie quarterback in terms of him carrying the team that I've ever seen. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. When you watch Jaden Daniels, what are you seeing from this rookie?
Joe, I see the same thing you see. I see the same thing. I always like to watch quarterback's feet and just see how steady they are. I feel like if you have calm feet, you have a calm mind. These feet are unbelievable. The other day, they broke down protection and Paschal came free right at him. And he just has this unbelievable suddenness to escape. He's as fast as he needs to be, but he's never in a hurry. And so all these things, these are cliches at some point, Joe, but at the same time, that guy sees the field. And his accuracy is as good as anybody's in his whole league right now. Decision-making is as good as anybody's. And he never slides. So maybe that's going to be a fault. Maybe that catches up to him. But his ability to convert fourth downs, like they're 23 or 27 on fourth downs.
Wow.
And the ball's in his hands making these decisions almost on every one of them. They're a four-down team, and they trust him with the ball in his hands. But I feel like how you feel. I feel like I'm watching the best rookie quarterback that we've ever seen. And
wow.
I don't think we're a prisoner of the time. I think that's what we're looking at.
No, it's hard to argue about that. It's hard to argue about that because I'm trying to think about all the rookies who played, and they usually struggle. Trey Aikman's in the Hall of Fame. He was 1-15. Tom Brady didn't even play his rookie season. Montana barely played his rookie season. Marino had the second year, right? Oh, it is fascinating. And that throw to De'Ami Brown, Baldy, as Shasky talks about it now, I'm with both of you guys. That's when I said, Baldy, okay, this is different. Because he goes to the far hash, the left hash, and he throws it across the field. And you talk about accuracy. Who's got better deep ball accuracy right now? I mean, Josh Allen, maybe? I mean, we're talking about a guy who's already been in the league for 5-6 years. The throw to De'Ami Brown, I said, okay, this guy is going to take over the nation's capital, and he's going to be that it player for the foreseeable future. I can't believe his deep ball accuracy. Is that something you looked at when he came out in the draft and said, okay, this can translate into the NFL? Because I'm blown away by his deep ball accuracy.
Well, he was throwing to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. So
right.
He's throwing to two guys that can track the deep ball to watch mm-hmm. it all year.
It's true.
And he's super tight with both of those guys. But, you know, remember, you know, you talked about Troy Aikman, you know, 1989 to 1-15. And I remember I was down there living in Dallas. So I wasn't playing for the Cowboys in 89. But I was living down there. And I remember going out to Valley Ranch where they practice. And I remember Troy Aikman in April and May out there every day in the field. There's Deion, there's Mike Irvin. It was a war in April and May. And I remember Troy Aikman saying that the last thing that he developed, the last thing to come for him in his Hall of Fame career was the deep ball. Because honestly, it's hard to really practice guys running full speed like you do, like Deion did, or McLaurin does. In practice, it's just hard to duplicate guys running full speed. You're taking care of your body. You don't want to pull anything. All those things that you kind of come to mind. It's hard to practice. And you're right. The deep ball touch that he has. I mean, Terry McLaurin's been in his league, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. Super smart guy. Great competitor. And he's got 15 touchdown passes right now because of the quarterback. And a lot of them are deep balls, you know, throughout the year. And now, De'Ami Brown has just had his two best games ever as a pro. And it's because of the quarterback. The quarterbacks make these receivers. And so it's amazing touch that he has. And it doesn't matter if he's got pressure in his face or not. Like, he's got that feel, that touch on the ball right now.
Yeah. All right, I'm looking over at Mahomes, and I'm pretty triggered. I'm not going to lie to you. I saw him do it against the Niners. And Russ used to do this. Russell Wilson, he used to do this to the Niners. He would, like, go toward the sideline, and then it would make it look like he was going to go out of bounds, and then turn it upfield because everybody kind of eases up. No one wants to get tossed out of a game and turn a 6-yard run into a 21-yard run or something like that. And to me, there's the spirit of the rule. There's the letter of the law. And I feel like we're in this big gray area. It reminds me of basketball when the guy pump fakes, guy leaves his feet, he leans in and gets the cheapy, you know, foul. We're now like too far in protecting the quarterbacks. Something's got to give. This Mahomes thing and the flopping and him faking like he's going to go down and sliding. You're watching this every week and you're an old school football guy. What do we do here? What does the league do? How do we eradicate? This isn't fair for the defense.
So in real time, the first hit to Mahomes' head that got called. I said the exact same thing. I said it in real time, and I posted it up there and put it out there. Like, they barely laid a glove on him. And then people were saying, well, they had to hit the face mask and all this kind of stuff. We know he was fine. Well, the second one, we saw two helmets collide. Mm-hmm. He wasn't touched. We saw him flop on the sideline, Joe. He knows how to throw. Like, the rules are made to protect the quarterback, and he's taking advantage of the rule. To your point, he knows how to draw the foul. He could have easily gone down on a couple of occasions, and he did. He stayed in bounds, and then whether he flopped or slid late or whatever, he knows how to draw the foul. So it's something that has to be brought up because it happens. Like, first of all, they're not calling any other penalties in these games for the most part. Like, the Eagles didn't have a single defensive penalty in the game. You know, they had three penalties total. You look at the number of penalties, it shrinks in these playoff games. The Chiefs have never been called for a holding call in a Super Bowl, in four Super Bowls. Like, they're not calling, but they're calling that foul. They're going to call that foul on Sunday between Jonas and between Patrick. They're probably going to call if somebody hits Jaden Daniels, although they didn't hear it. They didn't call against Jared Goff.
Nope.
You know, with an interception, and he gets his head taken off.
He got blasted
by Frank Lubin. So there is an inconsistency to it. But to your point, I think we're past the gray area. We're in an area where this is not the spirit of the law. This is not what it's intended to do. It was intended to protect the quarterback. We're fine. We need to see starting quarterbacks to play. We need Josh to go against Patrick. We need them in week 21 competing against one another. But there is a point where we're taking it too far.
Yeah, no, it was a joke that they called it on Will Anderson Jr. Then later on, you talk about that slide. We're talking to Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line. Before we get to Josh Allen and what we saw in Lamar Jackson, I thought that was just an excellent football game up there at Buffalo. The aesthetics, the setting, the snow, the fans. I mean, you had it all in that football game. But real quick, Max Crosby, what the hell is going on with him? What's going on with the Las Vegas Raiders? Shaska's just mentioning how he doesn't have any guaranteed money after this season. The Raiders are obviously in a rebuild. Mad Max, man, are we going to see him in a Raiders uniform next week? I know you're tight with a Baldy, and I know you don't want to give away too much, but what is he waiting on with the Raiders? Does he want to wait on the coach, the D coordinator, draft? What's going on down there in Vegas?
Well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know, you know, what grade, you know, how much grade he has to do with this. Coaches are getting signed. Coaches are going off the market. I don't know exactly what's going on. I know this. I know Max always wanted to be a Raider. It was important to him. But at some point, you know, he just had the ankle surgery, right? So you see him in a boot Sunday. at some point, you say, I'm in the very prime of my career. If we don't get a quarterback, we're never going to win. We're never beating Mahomes. We're never beating Justin Herbert. You know, I mean, you might have beat him one Sunday, but you're not beating them to go to the postseason. So if you want to give up your whole career and the prime of your career as a team just keeps reshuffling the deck, changing coaches, changing quarterbacks, and you're never giving yourself a chance to compete. He called Washington's victory against Detroit. He thinks, you know, he saw what Jaden Daniels can do. He goes against these guys every Sunday. His job is to affect the quarterback. At some point, you say, my lovely Raiders is secondary to winning and playing January football, as he had to do on Sunday. So I do think that there might be a change. I mean, without really saying anything here, I think any player would look at this going, man, if I could get out of here and go someplace where they know how to build a team, build a roster, have a quarterback, like, let's give myself a chance here.
Man, I'd love to see him with Nick Bosa.
I was going
to
say, what would it look like, Bosa and Crosby on the same defensive line?
Oh, oh man, is it happy days are here again, Joe. Happy days are here again. Let's all sing together. I mean, Nick needs help. You can go get a defensive coordinator here. I'm sure, you know, all these guys are being talked about. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Bill Belichick, you know, was coaching his defense right now, that he could get squeeze a whole lot more out of what Nick Sorensen had, or if Brayden Staley gets a job. Like, you need dogs up front, and it starts up front. And so you get Max and Nick going in, you get Hargrave back, and you get a young guy up front. You know, you see what Jalen Carter is doing for the Eagles right now up front, how he's dominating these games. Like, it starts up front, and you can hire any defense coordinator you want. If you don't have those guys, Vic Fangio didn't have those guys when they got hurt in Miami last year, and they ran them out of town. Now he's the toast of the town because he's got those dogs up front.
Yep. Hey, I still to this day believe Howie Roseman maybe floated some things out there about Jalen Carter to make him drop in that draft. Because I was like, Jalen Carter is the top player in that draft to me. And now you see what he's doing on Sundays in the playoffs. Him at first put on the show in Philadelphia. We'll get to that. But Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. And Baldy, I think if people don't see it, because everybody, you know, talks about the quarterbacks and this and that, but football's a simple game. You played it. Block, tackle, take care of the football. Don't make mistakes. And that's what we saw Sunday in Buffalo. Buffalo took care of the football, didn't make mistakes that hurt them. Lamar put the ball on the turf, threw a pick. Mark Andrews put the ball on the turf, didn't catch the ball, costly penalties, and now Baltimore's out, and they're kicking themselves left and right. Great quarterback game, great game to watch, but it's so simple, right, Baldy, especially during this time of the season?
You're exactly right, Bonte. I mean, the -3 in the turnover ratio, it's the most important stat in football. I don't know what happened on the interception with Lamar and Rashad Bateman. Lamar's throwing a go route, and Bateman's cut running the 7 cut. Now, why does that happen in week 20? Why does that miscommunication happen in week 20 against that law? And Lamar looks back, and maybe it was Lamar's misread. Maybe it was Bateman. Who knows? I know I saw Will Howard throw it to Jeremiah Smith last night in the biggest spot of the game. There was no miscommunication there. It can't be. And so I see miscommunication with Jaden Daniels and his receivers. You know, and then, you know, Lamar made a careless play on a high snap, and he put the ball on the turf. The Lions were minus five in turnovers. Houston special teams stunk. You know, the Rams fumbled twice.
Yep.
Like, you look at the results of these games, if you can nitpick officiating or play here or Mark Andrews here, it comes down to taking care of the football and being smart. And the teams that do that advance. The Eagles did play a great game, but the quarterback is not turning the ball over. You know, if you take out week 16 where he got hurt early in the game against Washington, he's 12-0 in his last 12 starts.
Wow.
And he hasn't thrown an interception in one game. You know, and so he's taking care of the football. They're a home run. They got Aaron Judge in the middle of the lineup. He's hitting bombs with Saquon. Defense is doing their job. You know, like, there is a formula to winning these playoff games. And right now, the teams that have advanced in the final four are all following the same game plan.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that Philly game. The couple quick takes is like Jared Verse and Jalen Carter, two monster stars, just monster stars emerging. Obviously, Saquon was excellent. Jalen Hurts is interesting to me. You know, like, I'm watching him, and he's kind of like the reverse Brock Purdy, just all year. He'll throw the deep balls and the stuff on the outside and the lobs and the big comebacks, but he's not great over the middle. And A.J. Brown, to me, is like built in like the Shanahan mold. I'll throw you the power slant all day, you know? I'll hit you over the middle. And it feels like he's not getting those touches, but they're winning. They're winning a lot. I'm real iffy on Jalen Hurts. I like the person, but as a quarterback, I do think he struggles to see kind of the middle of the field. Is he their liability, Jalen Hurts, right now, or is he just a byproduct of how they want to play football?
Now, I think he's more of a byproduct of how they want to play football. They were 2-2 to start the season. He was turning it over too frequently, making those throws over the middle. You go back to Green Bay in the game in Brazil. He threw one in the end zone. His receiver slipped. It's on him. He threw one against the Tampa 2, and Xavier McKinney picked him off. Like he's not making that throw that we saw Jared Goff make to Tim Patrick. Now, Tim Patrick's sitting in the hole. It's the right throw. He sailed it, and Quan Martin picked it off. It was a game changer. He's not making that throw to Jameson Williams at the end of the first half, 19 seconds ago, and Mike Sam Bristol undercuts it in an interception. Now, he's making that throw to A.J. Brown, you know, in the snow, to the pylon, and the quarterback, you know, Shaver didn't come up with it.
Yeah, he's got
it. He's making that throw to Devontae Smith over the middle. It's a perfect throw. Now, you know, Akello Williams, you know, hits him in the head. He gets 15 yards. He drops the ball. But he's very cautious about making any of those throws that can be tipped, intercepted, can be taken the other way right now. And maybe that is going to be the Achilles heel, Joe. Maybe it is. But right now, he's 12-0. Not making those throws over the last 4 months.
And you said no interceptions during those last 12 starts, Baldy?
One interception.
One interception. Wow, that's impressive.
One interception.
Yeah. It's all good. No, even one interception in 12 games, that's winning football.
It's incredible.
16 touchdown passes, one interception.
Wow.
In 12 winning starts right now.
See, I may be higher on Jalen than a lot of other people. I think Jalen plays winning football ever since he was at Alabama. Now he does it differently, and it drives people crazy. But the guy's a winner, in my opinion. The way I've been a Jalen fan ever since the way he handled getting benched in the national championship and stood there at the podium and answered questions. And that's why I think Philadelphia is my Super Bowl pick. I got them winning the whole damn thing. I had them before the playoffs. But on the other side of things, how do the Bills go into Arrowhead Stadium,
please,
and beat the Chiefs, please, and prevent them to go to another Super Bowl as the Chiefs, please, advance to their seventh consecutive AFC title game? How do the Bills do it, Baldy?
Well, they got to take care of the football. The offensive line was awesome.
Yep.
The other day, and they have been all year. They actually matched up really well against Kansas City. They used all three backs. You know, they use James Cook. They use Ty Johnson. They use the rookie.
Ray Davis.
They use all three. And Josh Allen.
Yep.
They had a big fourth down conversion in the opening drive of the game that led to a touchdown. They trust Josh Allen. The X factor is Spags against Josh Allen. And what Spags can do, he's unlike any other defense coordinator in this league. The chances he takes, how he's able to get home. I mean, they did sack C.J. Stroud. 8 times and hit him 14 times.
Wow.
I mean, they battered him in that game. I don't know what Houston was doing, putting Dalton Schultz on George Karlaftis. I have no idea. Turned the protection back away from the tight end. It wasn't smart. It didn't work. It destroyed him. So I feel like the matchup right now is, you know, Joe Brady and what Buffalo is doing against Spags and how Spags handles some of the pressures he's going to see. Does he take care of it? Does he make plays and burn them the way Jaden Daniels repeatedly burned Detroit when they pressured him? Or does he fold and give them up? Give it up, you know, once or twice in the game. I feel like that's the game on Sunday.
Flip side, can Buffalo slow down Mahomes and company? Because I feel like the Chiefs' offense, they've been good, not great. And I did like Buffalo. They bent but didn't break against Baltimore. Came up with some timely turnovers, of course, with the fumbles of Lamar and Mark Andrews. And, of course, that interception there. Can Buffalo slow down Kelce and the Chiefs? Because their offense hasn't really kicked it into high gear yet, Kansas City, that is.
I think they can. The ball's not going to go over Buffalo's head. They're going to play from the top down. They're going to play their zones. It doesn't really change very much. Now, it really helps that Milano and Terrell Bernard are both in there. They've been injured over the last couple of years, in and out. They didn't finish the season a year ago. They are two good playmakers at that linebacker spot. A lot of speed, playmaking ability. You saw Bernard at the end. He gave the ball out of Mark Andrews' hands in that fourth quarter and recover that fumble. Like, they're playmakers. So I feel like they can do a good job because, well, Kelce had a career game. Not career. He had a great game Saturday afternoon. I feel like Buffalo is better prepared to slow Kelce down and not give him those looks and catches, especially the 49-yard catch and run.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like they're going to be in single high like that, where a rookie safety has got to stop Kelce, where he jukes him and he goes 49 yards, sets up their opening touchdown of the game. I feel like they're better prepared to limit those types of plays.
Man, championship weekend, Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, Commanders for the third time this season. It's going to be fun. And all these teams, man, they're running the football. They're taking care of the ball. Baldy, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk next week, brother.
You got guys. Enjoy Sunday, man.
You too.
Should be good.
Oh, it's going to be real Baldy. Good. Baldy here on the Morning Roast. We got to run here and get to the injury report. That was Brian Baldy.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
We'll have more on this on the other side, but Draymond Green, when will he play basketball again? He's out for at least another week as he will get reevaluated for a mild left calf strain. Not much is known about the severity of the calf strain right now, but the expectation is for a light strain to be 1 to 2 week absence. A mild calf strain, however, could take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks to recover. We have no idea when we're going to see Draymond Green back on the floor. We'll talk about that on the other side. 888-957-9570. What direction do you want to see the Warriors get into? Let's recap what Baldy had to say about everything there. Injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Your phone calls, line them up. 888-957-9570. Dub Nation. What direction do you want to see the Dubs go in? We'll get into that and much, much more here on The Roast.